If we could check our cell phones, please, and see that they're in silent mode. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 81, Text 17. Nivasitaha priya drushte paryanke prataro yata mihishya vijita vijita shranto bala vyajana hastaya Nivasita priya drushte paryanke bhrataro yatha mahishya vijita shranto bala vyajana hastaya Nivasita priya drushte Paryanke prataro yata Mahishya vijita shranto Bala vyajana hastaya Rasita priya jushte Paryanke prataro yata Mahishya vijita shranto Bala vyajana hastaya Nivasita priya drushte Paryanke prataro yatha Mahishya vijita shranto Bala vyajana hastaya Nivasita priya drushte Priyanke bhataro yatha Mahishya vijita shranto Bala vyajana hastaya Ladies Nivasita priya drushte Shanto Bala Vyajana Hastaya Nivasitaha Seated Priya By His Beloved Drushte Used Paryanke On the Bed Prataraha, brothers, yata, just as, mihishya, by his queen, vijitaha, fanned, shrantaha, tired, bala, of yak-tail hair, vyajana, a fan, hastaya, In whose hand? Are we loud enough? Can everyone hear in the back? Does it need to be a little louder or is it okay? It's fine. Okay. Sudama said, He treated me just like one of his brothers. making me sit on the bed of his beloved consort. And because I was fatigued, his queen personally fanned me with a yak-tail chamara. Shushushaya padamaya padasambhahanadipi pujito deva devena vipradevena devavat. Although he is the lord of all demigods and the object of worship for all brahmanas, he worshipped me as if I were a demigod myself, massaging my feet and rendering other humble services. Svarga pavargayo pungsam nasayam puvisam padam sarvasam apisiddhinam mulam tach charanarchanam. Devotional service to the lotus, to his lotus feet, is the root cause of all the perfections a person can find in heaven, in liberation, in the subterranean regions, and on earth. Atano yam tanam prapya madhyanuch charanamam smaret iti karuniko nunam tanam me purinaranat. Thinking, if this poor wretch suddenly becomes rich, he will forget me in his intoxicating happiness. The compassionate Lord did not grant me even a little wealth. Purport. Sudama's statement that Lord Krishna bestowed on him not even a little wealth may also be taken to mean that instead of giving him wealth that was abhuti, slight, the Lord in fact gave him the immense treasure of his association. This alternate meaning has been suggested by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam rupakadha mayam tathati shapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri jata padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam shagrajatam sahagana raganatan vitamstam sajivam svadvaitam svabhutam Parijana Sehitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Swahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakam shana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari prishabhanu sute devi pranamami hori priye vansha kopatarubhyascha kripa sindho bhyayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas Hari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Dama Hare Dama Rama Rama Hare Hare Nivasita priya jushte prayanke bratro yata mahishya vidita shranto bala vyajana hastaya. While returning home from Dwarka, having visited Lord Krishna, Sudama Vipra is thinking in this way, recollecting his visit, and processing what happened, digesting what's happened, ruminating on what happened. And he's marveling that Krishna seated me on his own bed as if I were his brother, and Rukmini Devi was fanning me with her own hand. In the previous verse, Sudama has said that, who am I? Just a poor Brahmin, not even a Brahmin, but Brahma Bandhu. Some semblance of a Brahmin. And who is Krishna? Shriniketana, the abode of the goddess of fortune. And yet Krishna embraced me with his arms. How wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. And not only did he embrace me, but he sat me down on his own bed. And not only that, but his dear wife was fanning me with a yak-tail fan used for royalty. How wonderful this is. Shushushaya paramaya pada sambahanadibhi pujito deva devena vipra devena devavat. Krishna is deva deva in the Bhagavad Gita, deva deva jagatpate. He's the lord of all the demigods who reside on the higher planets. And vipra deva, he's worshipped by all the Brahmins. And yet, he was worshipping me. Devavat, as if I were one of the demigods. Or as if I were God. How wonderful Krishna is. And Pada Samvahana Adibhi, he's massaging my feet. How can I understand this? How wonderful Krishna is. How wonderfully he treated me. Pujita. He actually worshipped me. Svargapa bargayo pumsam rasayam bhuvisam padam sarvasam api siddhinam mulam tach charanarchanam. How does one get perfection? The ultimate source of all perfections, whether in the higher planets, the lower planets, the earth, or in liberation, the ultimate source of all perfections is the lotus feet of the Lord, or devotional service to the Lord. Vedeshu yageshu tapasu chaiva dahaneshu yat punya palam pradishtam atyeti tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param sthanam upaiti tajyam. Greater than the benefits to be derived from studying the Vedas, Vedeshu, greater than the benefits to be derived by performing yajnas, better than those of performing severe austerity, better than the results of liberally distributing charity, better than any other method is devotional service to the Lord. By performing devotional service, one surpasses all these punyapalam, all the pious results that one could get by any other method. And padam sthanam upaiti chaitya. Finally, one obtains the supreme abode of the personality of Godhead. So this is that person whose lotus feet grants all perfection. And that person is treating me like God. In this way, Sudama's just in unlimited appreciation of how wonderfully Krishna has treated him. And then, Atanoyam Dhanam Prapya Madhyanuchchair Namam Smaret Itikaruniko Nunam Dhanam Me Purinadadat. And Krishna knows the heart of everyone. Isra Sarvabhutanam Hridde Serjanatishtiti. So he knows what happens to a very poor, pious person who becomes rich. Once he's rich, the piety is out the window. As long as he's poor, he's very humble, he's very pious, he's God conscious. And then as soon as he gets wealth, he becomes intoxicated. He becomes intoxicated. Sometimes in New York we see a billboard of showing the face of the person who won the New York lottery. And the person is in absolute ecstasy. Just nothing else in the world matters. I won the New York lottery. What higher perfection could there be? Someone gets money, they forget everything. They forget their old friends. Those old friends from the poverty days are forgotten. Sometimes they forget their wives. They can forget everything. Forget their religious principles. We see that. There are so many people from Brahminical families. And once they get money, whether it's by writing software or by some other means, then everything goes out the window, all their pious credit, all their Brahminical background. Then it's drinking and clubs and meat eating and opulent life, designer clothes and gadgets. Because everything else is forgotten. I have money, I have money, I have money. So Krishna knew that this is the nature of a poor person who gets money. He becomes mad, he becomes intoxicated. That's the nature of money, that just by coming in touch with it, a person becomes practically mad. Even if he doesn't get it, just the thought of getting it. People will kill for money. People will risk their life for money. People will do almost anything. They'll do vicious things. They'll kill their brothers. They'll kill their sisters. They'll sell out their country. They'll sacrifice their reputations. Anything. If I can get money. So money is such a thing that people go mad for it. Even smaller amounts of money, the whole world is going on. People are working like donkeys because there's a little money. That's already crazy. Why should I work like an ass? Oh, you'll get money. All right, I'll work. And what to speak of big time money? So Krishna knew this. Adhana ayam dhanam prapya madhyanuchchai namam smaret. He becomes so delighted by the money, so intoxicated by the money, that namam smaret, he forgets about me. He forgets about me. So, thinking in this way, iti karuniko nunam. So, Krishna is so merciful that knowing this, dhanam me bhuri nadadat, he didn't give me a lot of money. He didn't give me a bhuri. He didn't give me a bhuri. Even a little money. A bhuri. Bhuri means abundant. And a bhuri, not abundant. So he didn't give me even a little money. He didn't give me a little money. The meaning is, can be taken the opposite way. Let me think. I had an example in my mind. What was it? The example is gone, but the meaning is when we say not a little, it can be taken the opposite way. A lot. Like if we say that some place is not a long way, it means it's close. Or, no, let's cancel that. Not what I was thinking. But the idea is not a little means a lot. So he didn't give me a lot. Yes, not a bhuri. He didn't give me a little. He didn't give me a little. So that means either he didn't give me anything, or he didn't give me a little. Just like somebody puts some prasadam on your plate, you say, toda, toda. Oh, that's not a little. No, it's not a little, it's a lot. So you didn't give me a little. You gave me too much. Ati. So he didn't give me a little wealth is ironic, because as we'll find, he'll give him so much wealth that no one can imagine. That comes in the next verse or so. He's thinking, Krishna didn't give me a little wealth. And of course, the thoughts of the Brahmins are true. Yes, Krishna didn't give him a little wealth. Krishna gave him unlimited wealth. But he's thinking, Krishna didn't give me even a little wealth. Here it can be taken that he didn't give me a little wealth, he gave me a lot, means just see, he gave me his association, he treated me like royalty, his queen was fanning me, but especially he gave me his divine association. So this is beyond a little wealth. So what is that? Narottam Das Thakur. Golokera Premadhan Harinam Sankirtan. He says, this is the real treasure. What is that? Golokera Premadhan. The treasure of love for Krishna that descends from Goloka Vrindavan. That wealth is beyond any, what is these, this treasure of the material world? That somebody becomes a big man and he builds a big apartment building for himself and with this and that, and he'll have so many cars. But what is that? We have a friend, he works for the prime minister of one of the Gulf countries. And when I first met him, I heard that he works in the prime minister's office. I thought, oh, big diplomatic position. Actually, what he does is he takes care of the prime minister's car collection. The prime minister has, you know, Jaguars and Mercedes and Rolls and antique cars and this car and that car. And he's an old man. And what happiness can he get from his cars? But he has money, so he has to spend. Oh, these are my cars. So, death will soon come, and then your cars are no longer yours. And what were they anyway? Just junk. And we're piling up the junk of this material world, and we're thinking, I have this, I have this, I have this. Bhumirapo nalo vayu. It's all products of the material energy. And yadantyavanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha. It all has a beginning and an end. So an intelligent person doesn't take pleasure in these things. But when he gets money, he loses his intelligence and he thinks, so what is that? Imam prapsye manoratam. Idam maya. What is that? Maya labdham. Idam. Idam adya maya labdham imam prapsye manoratam. Idam astidam api me bhavishyati punardhanam. This is the thinking of the demons. This much I have now. And by my schemes, it can become this much. Bhavishyati punardhanam. So much do I have now. So much can I get. I can kill my enemies. I've defeated so many already. I'll defeat the rest of them. Idam dasya, what is it? Yakshe dasyami modishya. I'll give charity, I'll perform sacrifices, I'll enjoy. Itya gana vimohita. In this way, he's completely bewildered by ignorance. So, people are so eager to get opulence. And then, even when they get opulence, it becomes a source of but misery for them. Let's see if I have that reference. This is a quote from a Greek historian. Do you think that I live with more pleasure the more that I possess? Do you not know that I neither eat nor drink nor sleep with a particle more pleasure than when I was poor? But by having this abundance, I gain merely this, that I have to guard more, to distribute more to others, and to have the trouble of taking care of more. This is called Maya. The more money, the more trouble. As soon as I have it, I have to worry about guarding it. Someone may steal it from me. Someone may try to kill me for it. Sanatana Goswami, when he was on the road, the innkeeper came to know this man has some gold coins. And he was planning to kill Sanatana Goswami. I'll kill this beggar and take the coins. But Sanatana Goswami beat him to it. Here, take these coins. Help me get on the road to where I'm going. No, I can't take the coins. No, you take them. Well, that kind of wealth is the product of Maya, but the real wealth is Premadhan. Golokera Premadhan Harinam Sankirtan. The wealth of love for Krishna. That wealth is eternal. That wealth is unlimited. That wealth is actually enjoyable. The enjoyment of the material world depends on the material body, which can't enjoy very much. And it's based on the illusion that I am the enjoyer, which I'm not. I'm trying to be the enjoyer, and I falsely set myself up as the enjoyer, and then I'm slammed. But this is the actual pleasure of the living being. Anandamaya Vyasa, we're by nature full of pleasure, and we want to be full of pleasure. Therefore, if I get money, then I can have pleasure. Some billboard was there today, I forget what it was. The pleasure of something. I forget what it was. It had to do with money and this and that. Nothing can be more pleasurable than whatever it is we're advertising. Because we're meant for pleasure. But we've got it wrong because we're thinking that we'll get pleasure by being the enjoyer. And the position of enjoyer is already taken by Krishna. Our position is to give enjoyment. By taking that position, then we take part in Krishna's pleasure. We take part in Krishna's pleasure by giving Krishna pleasure. And yayata mam prapajyante mam tam stataiva bhajamyam, Krishna reciprocates. So we give Krishna pleasure, we get pleasure. But if we go directly, let me enjoy, then we suffer. So Sudama's thinking that Krishna is so kind to me, he's saved me from getting into that rut of Maya, into that illusion, that intoxication of Maya. I'll get money, I've got money. Instead, he didn't give me anything. But he gave me the treasure of his association. In this way, he's thinking. So we can stop here and see what questions there might be.
Maharaj, this is a practical problem that comes in our Krishna consciousness, is that when we came into Krishna consciousness, at that time we didn't have so much money. We did lots of austerity because nothing was there with us. And then Krishna, by his causeless mercy, sent us money. And once the money started coming in our life, it so happened that our age has also started increasing. Means we became a little bit old in our bodily structure point of thing. So what is the thing that is happening is our mind used to tell us that you need some comforts. You need some little bit comfort so that your Krishna consciousness becomes smooth. Something, it will be much more better. It will be much more peaceful. And in that basis, we start taking those things for our sense gratification. We don't take it as a necessity just to do the needful. And the mentality of that austerity and penances which we were doing it before, that goes on going down drastically. On one side we feel it that it is required, we have to do the needful for our body. But on the other side what is happening is the mentality of austerity, showing our sincerity to Krishna, that goes down. So, and we are not able to find out the barometer or a borderline by which we have to give the needful to our body but not to sacrifice our austerity and penances. That we are not able to take it in a proper way. So Maharaj, can you just tell us what is the barometer that we have to go on checking every time by which we do the needful for our body but not sacrifice the austerity and penances which we were doing before when we came into Krishna consciousness?
Good question. It's a judgment call. There's no particular thing. If you have two chairs, then you've gone beyond the limit. Or if you have four chapatis instead of three, now you're living too opulently. If you have more than a half a teaspoon of ghee with your meal, then there's not like that. Anasaktasya Vishayan. We can have any amount, but we should have that spirit of detachment. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatarho Mupayunjata. And we should be using the things for Krishna's service. We can have any amount of wealth, but it should be for Krishna's satisfaction, not for ours. Now, as you say, a certain amount of bodily maintenance is required, a certain amount of something we have to do for our health, something we have to do for reasonable amount of comfort. Otherwise, we can't push on. Bhagavatam says that should be the minimum. What we need. Particularly for those in the renounced order of life. Those who are in the grihastha ashram, well, they're already in maya. Couple more chapatis or a few more rupees in the bank, what difference will it make? Of course, grihasthas are not supposed to be in maya. They're supposed to be very carefully calculating also that I shouldn't be accumulating unnecessarily. But anyway, there's a little license there. A little more can be accepted. But in the renounced order of life, it's a very great danger that one becomes a maharaja, then he wants to live like a maharaja. Now so much money I've gotten, I should put it in the bank because who knows what I may need it for. And then he wants to go from place to place and see this and see that and be invited here and be invited there and be served a feast here and served a feast there and pick up another check, another envelope. And have nice bedding and servants. It becomes very dangerous. Because the renounced order is meant for, particularly for austerity. And yes, in the renounced order then, fame may come, wealth may come. And if we let that stick to us, then it can be a disaster. It can be disaster. One wants to live very luxuriously. After all they're offering, I should accept, it's my duty. And he very dutifully accepts palatable food, comfortable accommodations, good money, good cars, good this, well-tailored clothes, this, that. And he becomes a king in the thanks to the renounced order of life. And when one lives like a king, how far away can be the queen? First of all, he's already thinking, because the senses are being agitated, he's eating more, he's living comfortably, so the mind starts to wander. And there's a word, I've forgotten the word, it's a technical term, but it means that women like to marry up. No woman looks to say, where is there a man poorer than me that I could marry? A man less educated, less wealthy, from a lower background. They want to marry up. That's natural. And so some women also, that now they start to look, well, I can marry this guy, I can marry that guy, but look at this Maharaj. He's got more going for him than anyone. Bigger bank balance and, you know, everybody wants to serve him, and I could be his queen. So when the sannyasi lives very opulently, then Maya does her part and sends the necessary paraphernalia. Yes, you wanted to enjoy. Come on, you're not... You have money, you have this, you have cars, but you don't have this. So then the queen comes. And then he's completely lost. Already he's lost, but now he's fully lost. Those who are in the renounced order of life particularly should be very, very careful not to be intoxicated by opulence, by wealth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Sanatana Goswami came to meet him in Banaras, Sanatana Goswami had left the government of Hussein Shah and he'd come through the so much trouble, Charikand, all of that. But along the way, he'd been given a nice blanket. So when he came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Tapan Mishra, who, at whose house he was staying, there's some beggar outside. I think there's someone outside. No, there's just some beggar outside. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew this so-called beggar, Sanatana Goswami. So he saw Sanatana Goswami, he's come, and now he's given up his government post, and he's living as a renounced Vaishnav. But he was looking, seeing that blanket. And Sanatana Goswami could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing this blanket, and he's thinking, what is this? You've accepted the renounced order of life. You're living like a beggar, and you've got this, like, Kashmiri, Pashmini, you know, fancy shawl. What is this? Doesn't fit the picture. So Sanatana Goswami could understand that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has noticed this. So he went to the bathing ghat, I think that's where it was, yes, and he traded, he offered to someone who had just a poor wrapper. But sir, do you take mine? I'll take yours. The man thought, this fellow is joking with me. No one does that. No, please take. Then when he next met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just had a cheap blanket. Yes, very good. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us that my sannyasis should not live very opulently. If they've accepted renounced life, they should live accordingly. They should live accordingly. They should be very careful not to live luxuriously at the expense of the... After all, the grihasthas are working so hard and they're giving charity for their purification. Then the sannyasis are accepting the charity and living better than the grihasthas. So that should not be. The sannyasis should maintain their integrity. Now, even the sannyasi, he requires to eat, he requires to sleep, but he should be quite cautious. We may not be as strict as Raghunath Das Goswami and all of that. And the Mayavadis, they can beat the Vaishnavas 10-1 because their whole game is austerity. The Vaishnavas accept things for the service of Krishna. They accept cars, they accept microphones, they accept everything. But anasaktasya vishaya. Not more than needed and not in the spirit of having the best of everything. Just whatever we need, or yadvichcha labha santushta, what comes by Krishna's arrangement. And even that, maybe not everything that comes. So we should always be thinking, whether we're grihasthas, whether we're sannyasis, should always be thinking, am I getting attracted by Maya's call? Come on, enjoy, come on, enjoy, come on, enjoy. We should be careful to not become enjoyers of this world. Some enjoyment, actually, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace. What is enjoyment anyway? Nice prasadam, nice association, singing and dancing. So we have all of that. We have all of that. Krishna Bhattadoyamoy, such nice Krishna prasadam, a nice association of devotees. So we can accept what Krishna has given us, but very carefully. Very carefully. Even like a government officer, if you think about it, like a district magistrate or some government officer, he gets a bungalow, he gets a car, he gets a personal assistant, he gets various people working under him. He gets all this facility. A lot. But that's all government property. It's all provided for the service of the government. The car is for the government service. The assistants are for government service. All right, this having a nice bungalow in a quiet place will help you do your work. Take the bungalow also. But it's all for government service. Now if you start thinking, well, what better place to party than my bungalow? And what better use for the car than to go out and do up the town? What better use for the job than to take bribes and increase my bank balance? Then he becomes fallen. Then he's not a government servant anymore. He's a thief. Misusing government property. So he always has to think, can I put this on the government account? Is it justifiable? Or is it just, anyway, no one will see? And we find, especially in Kali Yuga, people charge so much to the government account. I knew this, I knew that. And sometimes the auditors come and they see, what was the new this, what was the new that? And then he gets nabbed. That this had nothing to do with the government service. This is for your own pleasure. So if we're men of integrity, whether in government service or Krishna's service, we should always be seeing, is this a justifiable expense? Down to the paisa. Prabhupada was so careful that he wouldn't send someone by rickshaw to the bank because the rickshaw fare cost money, more money than sending the check by post. How much money are we talking about? A few paisa or a rupee or two. But Prabhupada was down to the paisa. Money should not be misappropriated. It's all meant to be appropriated for Krishna's service. So I need to eat. For example, they give you, you go on some tour for the government service. They give you some budget for your eating, for your staying. So then you eat and you stay. But it doesn't mean that you banquet, you feast, you stay in extraordinary accommodations, you find a lady companion for the night. Not bad. What you need to get the job done. Otherwise it's misappropriation. So we should be thinking like that. How my everything is used for Krishna's service.
You made it very clear, Maharaj, that as far as the grahasthas are concerned, they have some rights to keep it. And definitely they do some sense enjoyment. But sannyasis are absolutely, they have to be very clear. But what about vanprastha? They have to be, the problem with the vanprastha,
the vanprasthas are in between. That's it. It's the in-between ashram. They're coming from the grahastha platform, where there's a little more facility, more scope for expenditure and accumulation and comfort. And they're going toward the sannyasa ashram, where there's austerity, where there's dependence on Krishna, where we don't stock up. So they have to find their way from here to there. Finding their way from here to there. So that means giving up, giving up, giving up, giving up. Previously, it was very severe. They would go to the forest. They would live on roots and berries. So severely. The wife would come, but she'd be living the same way. In Kali Yuga, we can't expect that. But we can adopt that spirit that in the beginning, and when we become grahasthas, we build up. We build up our career, we build up our bank balance, we get an apartment, we expand our family, we get vehicles, we get a promotion in our job, we get more accommodation. So, building up. Brahmacharis, what do they have? But when he gets married, then it starts to, necessarily, it expands to a greater or lesser extent. He has to build up his establishment somewhat. But vanaprastha ashram is the reverse. Now I've built up, now I have to escape from what I've built up. Now I have to get rid of... Somebody was telling me there's someone who wrote a book about the art of dying with nothing. You know, the goal of your life should be that at the end you have nothing. Because that's what you're going to have anyway. That apart, I've built up so much, now I have to think... How do I get free from all this? I've got this post, who's it going to go to? I've got that post, who's it going to go to? I've got these dependents, how are they going to become independent? I've got this stuff, how do I get rid of it? On the one side, detachment. Because this is all stuff that's clinging to me. Aham mameti, I'm this body and this is my stuff. And any one of us, even a sannyasi, he becomes attached to his stuff. We accumulate more than we need. But any of us, if we sannyasi or grahastha, you go back and you look at your bag or you look at your apartment. And if you go through, you'll see, well, this I don't need, this I don't need, this I don't need, this I don't need. So vanaprastha means so much I don't need, let me get rid of it. Let me hand it over. And on the other side, harimashrayeta, to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise just giving up, that's just, what is that? But on the other side, to get the real treasure, to give up the false possessions, anyata rupa, and to get the real stuff, attachment to Krishna. That's the real business. That I was getting happiness from, you know, going with my family here and seeing my grandchildren and doing this and doing that and going to this wedding and going to that graduation and different social affairs and little sports and recreation and little of this and of this. I was getting some happiness. But that's only a little happiness. How do I go for the ultimate happiness, the happiness of serving Krishna, which is my real life? Now I've developed this attachment to matter, dependence on matter, this feeling that without matter, a certain amount of matter, I'll be lost. What will happen to me? Going from that to having as one's possession the lotus feet of Krishna and thinking without the lotus feet of Krishna I would be lost. Everything else can go. So vanaprastha means getting from here to there. How exactly one gets from here to there, that one has to work out, but that's the project.
The biggest problem that comes into vanaprastha life is that it is finding it very difficult that whether we are progressing properly in vanaprastha life. Because what happens in vanaprastha life is that we have to go on checking it, that we are getting detached.
Well, first thing, very simple, no sex. That rule is very clear for the vanaprastha ashram. If you're having sex, you're not a vanaprastha. And if you're a vanaprastha, you shouldn't be having sex. That much is black and white. Other things we say, well, how much of this, how much of that. But the quota for sex for the vanaprastha is zero. No sex. Otherwise it's not vanaprastha. It's extended material attachment. Grihamedi life, actually. Because at that time of life, I'm still clinging to sex. It's not even grihastha. So vanaprastha life means, first of all, no sex. That makes the rest of it a lot easier. Because so much of that attachment and the spreading of the material conception of life has its origin in sex. So by giving up sex, one makes so much progress. Therefore, three ashrams, no sex. Brahmacharis, no sex. Sannyasis, no sex. Vanaprasthas, no sex. Grahasthas, hardly any sex. Because that sex attraction is the basis of material existence. Pumsastriya maitini bhavamita. So the license for sex is handed out, is what given back in vanaprastha, revoked in vanaprastha ashram. No sex. Then exactly, yes, continuing.
I understand. This is the most important factor is about the sex. Second thing is we have to even check in our vanaprastha life that do we really making a proper progress in the years to come in a vanaprastha life? And what is the barometer that we can check it out that we are progressing properly in vanaprastha life?
We have to see how our attachment to matter is decreasing, how our attachment to Krishna is increasing. Another guideline given in Bhagavatam is that the vanaprasthas aren't meant for social life. You know, going from wedding to wedding and graduation to graduation. Well, what is that? It's all in relationship to this body. This is my cousin brother and this is my this and this is my that. Why? Because I'm this body, and in relation to this body, this is that. Manaprastha means putting that aside. This is not my business. Not the retired life. Retired life in material world, you go to the golf course, you go to weddings and anniversaries, you go to this, you go to that, all social hobnobbing. That's and so many other things they do in so-called retirement. They go touring different, they go to Paris, they go to London, if they have the money. But Krishna conscious vanaprastha life, where vanaprastha life, even not Krishna conscious, means that not, it's not this social life in relationship to the family and the community, and because I need to understand that I'm not this body. Then I should give up the business of this body. Not to live comfortably at home, bouncing little grandchildren on the knee. They would go to the forest, they would go to holy places, temple to temple, tirthasthan to tirthasthan. They would search out the company of realized souls. That's the idea.
But the problem that comes in the vanaprastha life, which I could see it in many of the cases, is both the couple, that is the husband and the wife, both are not, either of the one person is prepared for vanaprastha life, the other person is not yet prepared. And then there is a clash between the both of them. In that situation, what is to be done? The other person who is prepared, he has to go ahead, or he has to take care of another person and come to that level and then only accept vanaprastha life.
They're not going at the same speed. What to do? It's a little bit political. If the man is more advanced, then he should be going ahead. That, and he should see that, all right, you stay home, I'm going out for a little while, and you stay home, and you be with the children, and you be with your family, and I'll go out, and I'll come back. Not that if she's staying home, I have to stay home. If she's going to all these social affairs, I should also be going to all these social affairs. His duty is to get out. So then he may go and come. Even we saw that Prabhupada in his vanaprastha life, he was doing that. He was going out to Jhansi for preaching. He was coming back, seeing, yes, things are going on, everything's all right, and going out again. Not that we have to be held back. And no, if you're not, then I won't. No, we have to move ahead.
Opposite, the wife is prepared and husband is not prepared.
She should kick him out. Actually, she can do that. Encourage him that such and such tirthyatra is going on, such and such programs going on, this is going on, that's going on. You know, I'll be okay for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You can go. Wherever the mic goes.
In this verse, we see that Sudama is contemplating how Krishna has not given him anything as such, but he's taking it in a very positive way, that if Krishna gives, then I will be attached to that. Later on, we see that when Krishna gives him everything, when he reaches home, he sees Krishna gave him everything. He's again contemplating, thinking that Krishna gave me everything, I'm not sincere, otherwise he would have given me devotional service. So he's very contemplative. Previously also we heard that he's very detached. He is not agitated in mind. His senses are controlled. And he was staying in whatever comes in its own accord. So being so mindful, detached, such a pure devotee, how it could be that he still remain attached to the concept of being detached as a renounced Brahmana, which finally got cured by Krishna's such a reciprocation.
Yeah, it's subtle that even an advanced devotee may have some little attachment, in this case attachment to being renounced. So then Krishna manages, if the devotee is sincere, then Krishna manages to purify him of that lust. It's a very subtle thing. It's not gross attachment, but still little attachment to being renounced. So Krishna wanted to, no, you just be attached to my service. And that's Krishna's mercy. Is that okay? Sometimes it's more gross. Bharat Maharaj became attached to a little deer. It wasn't, you know, that he was attached to a Ferrari or something. It was just a little deer cub. But it was attachment. But then Krishna was so merciful that he dealt with him very strongly. All right, you become a deer. But you get the association of sadhus and then you go back to God. So Krishna arranges for the yogakshema vahamyam. He helps the devotee. Yes?
Hare Krishna, Babuji. Prabhuji, I just want to ask, when you are entering the grihastha ashram phase, so what qualities which you have to see when you are selecting a partner? Because that is very difficult.
First thing you should see is that the partner's of the opposite sex.
Sure.
Good. For the rest, you can consult your counselees. Next thing is, your partner should be Krishna conscious. Even in astrology, that's the first consideration. Demons should marry demons, and devotees should marry devotees. Yeah. If they have a material, you know, strong materialistic mindset, then they should marry others of the same mindset. They'll be happy in Maya together. And devotees, those who are godly, they should marry similar persons. Because our goal is to become Krishna conscious. And that's, you, everything else should support that. For further details, consult the experts.
Maharaj. So Maharaj, you mentioned about Sudama. He was very much appreciating Lord Krishna. And even in couple of verses previously, he was thinking that he got such a wonderful blessings, wonderful association of Krishna and Rukmini Devi for such a bad person. So the first level is like we always think that we always crib about some petty problems which are going in our life. So why bad things are happening to a good people? So that is our first level. The second level is, yeah, whatever is happening, it is because of my own karma. And the third highest level is how such a wonderful thing, like just for example in a devotee's situation, where we are getting such a wonderful association, but still we are cribbing about some petty problems, or we are always focusing on some problems which are there in our life. So how to come from that first level to third level?
By devotional service, step by step, one comes to these different levels. The first level, he's seeing how there's no God, or God is unfair, or everything's happening by chance, or how could this be happening to such a person as that? Because his faith is next to nothing, and his knowledge is next to nothing. So he has to mature in faith and he has to advance in knowledge. So he does that by Bhagavata Seva, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, serving the devotees, by the whole process of devotional service, then step by step by step he'll advance. Is that okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. One of the personal question is like, if a devotee is following the ISKCON and the partner is following some another religion, so the subling, you know, it becomes very difficult that what the subling should do. The sublings, the son, daughter, children.
What the children should do.
And there is a lot of conflicts, you know, personally.
Therefore, it's recommended that like should be with like. Then you don't have that problem. But somehow, if it so happens, then you have to negotiate that. You have to work with that. You know, that sometimes the world is like that. You don't get exactly the ideal circumstance. And you say, all right, this is what I got. Maybe that becomes an impetus to leave householder life sooner. You know, it's not very compatible. Like Prabhupada said that he didn't really like his wife very much. And so he was thinking, maybe I should get another wife. You know, have two. And his father encouraged him that you don't like your wife very much. You don't see your wife as being very beautiful. He said, that's good. Then you'll see Krishna as beautiful. So if we're a little dissatisfied with our family life, for whatever reason, she belongs to this, or she belongs to that, or she does this, or she does that, or she doesn't like this about me, or doesn't like that about me. Whatever the excuse, take it. Let me take early retirement and dedicate my more energy for Krishna. Why should I be all, just like Vidura, he was an important person in the government of Hastinapur. Practically the whole state was depending on him and his good advice. But it was so troublesome for him. Although he was very affectionate to his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, still Dhritarashtra was so materially attached, and his son, Duryodhana, was so wicked. And then there was some incident where Duryodhana very cruelly insulted Vidura. And Vidura just took the opportunity. Thank you very much. And he just walked out and didn't come back. So it was a blessing for him. Even though he had responsibilities there, he was respected by almost everyone there. Bhishma Dev was there, so much was there. But he walked out. This is too much. Duryodhana is too much. He left. So when there's some cause, even if it's not a big cause, we can take the advantage and move on. We're meant to move on. There was some incident. One of our grihasthas came to know that his wife was pregnant by some other man. Westerners. And he was therefore thinking that he should take sannyas. Just forget it. And so many friends and other devotees were advising him that, no, you should, you know, just accept her and be forgiving and merciful and, you know, just tolerate. And he went to Prabhupada and said that this is what's happened, I was thinking I should take sannyas. Prabhupada said, at the first excuse, and immediately gave him sannyas. Mm-hmm. Of course, that was not a small thing, not a small excuse, but we should be thinking that anyway I have to go, so if there's some extra reasons, good. Yes.
Hare Krishna. You were mentioning that for Vanaprastha they should not attend social functions like marriage, etc. So outside marriages we may consider that it is maya, but our temple congregation is so big.
The temple congregation is so big that you can spend the rest of your life going to marriages, birthday parties, and all of that.
So my point is that...
No, don't.
We should not go. Because we see...
What about the rest of the world? Yeah. Even among ourselves, if we just spend our time going to, you know, one another's birthday parties and graduations and anniversaries, what about the world? Is this the Krishna consciousness movement, that we just spend time going to one another's social functions? It's all right, especially actually all the social functions should just be excuses for Hari Kirtan and Krishna Katha. But there are seriously urgent things. The world is falling apart out there. People are completely off track, and there's only a very few people who have the right pill to give them. You know, if the doctors are all attending marriages and anniversaries and birthday parties, you know, what about the diseased people and especially the emergency cases? So Vanaprastha is also not that they just say, well, yeah, but it's they're all devotees and they stays basically in the same life. There should be a change. There should be a change. Starting with, okay, forget the non-devotee anniversaries and birthday parties, but then even, you know, what is all this? Just to go from party to party. Let me do something more. Prabhupada, in his Vanaprastha, he went to Vrindavan, he went to Jhansi. He was seriously intent on doing something to serve the mission of his spiritual master. Not just social functions. Okay. Shall we? Yes. Mike.
Maharaj, the standard is very high, the way if we talk in the line of Sanatan Goswami, nine gold coin, give up. So what we are conveying to the people means actually whether that's sannyas ashram is completely different until unless somebody is ready for that. First of all, we don't know even what is our purpose of life. That's why whether we are, most of us are 80 or 70 or 75, we don't know the purpose of life. Throughout life, whether this thing is going to help me in my spiritual life. If that is not our consideration, then throughout our life, we are fooling ourselves and telling, well, I am doing this thing for Krishna, 99% for myself, 1% I will do for Krishna. Now this is the way, so if we, how to understand that this, whatever now and after this age, 60 or 70 or 80, I will not do anything which is not connected with Krishna. But we are not getting that association. So it becomes only a talk in the temple. Until unless we get the association of that type of people, I hear lecture, wonderful, Mishwat question answers. But in my life I want to apply, I don't get any association. So how to solve that problem? So we should, your example of that, you know, government servant is so wonderful that we should use everything because government has supplied, Krishna has given us. But that is not working actually. It's working only for the class purpose. But in our life, it's not, this is my feeling. So how we can come out of it and whether it's a vanaprastha, forget about sannyas. Whether in vanaprastha ashram, when we are 50 to 100 people are in the age of 60 to 70 or 80. So how to reach to that stage where we can actually go to that direction?
First thing is our keenness to do it. Everything comes from desire. But then someone says, but my desire is not strong enough. Therefore, association. Even the brahmacharis. Brahmacharis are advised. Associate with the sannyasis. Why? Then you get encouragement. But even probably encouraged. Don't, brahmacharis, don't mix very extensively with the grihasthas. Why? You mix with the grihasthas, your desires will go in that direction. Mix with the sannyasis, and you'll think about going in that direction. So the vanaprasthas also, they shouldn't mix, they should be pulling themselves out of that ordinary grihastha association. Those who are in that, who are qualified, who are in that space, as it were, 50, 60, 70, they should be thinking collectively, how can we advance? You know, we're done with this. We know that this householder life is over for us. There's not a lot of fun there anymore. And we look ridiculous trying to be grihasthas in our old age. We should be doing serious work for advancement and detachment. So they should be collectively thinking that way. That's one thing. And they should take the association of those who are still more advanced on that path. Those thoughts are there. Some commitment that now I'm not a grihastha anymore. I've been grihastha, now I'm not a grihastha anymore. Now vanaprastha. In Mayapur, for one devotee, I performed a little samskar. Now you're not grihastha anymore. You and your wife now vanaprasthasha. It's not necessary that there be any formal ceremony, but just to create an impression and a strong sense that, yes, now we're moving on. Just like they have a graduation ceremony in the school. It doesn't mean anything. You'll get a certificate anyway. But they do a whole thing to create the impression that now you're a graduate. Marriage, you can just get a certificate. You don't have to do all the rest of that stuff. But just to create the impression that now we've entered this ashram. So one may formally make that commitment. That now, even sometimes the name change is changed, not Adhikari, but Vanachari. Now we're out of grihastha life. So then now that I'm not in grihastha life, I'm vanaprastha, then what should I be doing? Then I'm thinking that way. I'm not a grihastha anymore. I'm vanaprastha. Of course, ultimately thinking, I'm not grihastha, I'm not vanaprastha, I'm not sannyasi, I'm not brahmachari. Gopi bharta pada kamalayo, dasa dasa anudas, I'm servant of Krishna. But if this varnashram is going to help me, where am I? Well, I'm here. And if I'm here, what should I be doing? Where should I be going? Just like the brahmacharis. They know because they're wearing the brahmacharya dress. They've got the brahmacharya name. So they know I have to do this and this and this because this is what a brahmacharya does. I shouldn't be doing this and this and this because brahmacharyas don't do this. So the vanaprasthas can be thinking the same way. I'm not a grahastha anymore. My license for sense gratification has expired. Maybe even, you know, like people who overstay their visa in India, it expired in 2014 and they're still here on expired visa, then it's problematic. Now what do I do? So my visa, the expiration date is either approaching or it's already passed, so I have to leave. And I have to go forward. And that's not unhappy, that's wonderful. You know, it's not like just the expiration of a visa, you know, a privilege that now I can stay in the country longer. It's more like the expiration of a prison term. You know, I've completed my sentence, my 25 years are over. So now there are people who stay in prison because it's secure. It's a known issue, you know, that they've forgotten how to live anywhere else but the prison. And they bring me my food at this time, and I know where I'm going to stay, and my buddies are here, all my friends. And it may be a little difficult, but anyway, it's known. If I go out, where will I live? How will I eat? Where will I go? So they do something, you know, they punch the warden or something so that they can stay in prison. So we shouldn't think, how can I extend my prison sentence? I served my time. I learned some good lessons. Maybe I made some good friends in the institution. Now I have to move on and welcome that opportunity. There's more to life than what we find behind prison bars. Ultimately, even if you're in the world, you're not in prison. The whole world is a prison. So we want to get out of that prison finally and go back to real freedom, back to Godhead. Is that okay? Thank you. Yes.
Maharaj, may I make a comment?
Of course.
You see, Maharaj, we have to follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada. Now, Prabhupada knew that his spiritual master wanted something, and he pursued that. I have to request my god brothers, that is very clear what Radhanath Maharaj wants. But they don't see it. They don't follow it. Radhanath Maharaj spent maximum of his time last year at our GEV. And he needs help there. But these people are not prepared to go there. They're not working. So they're not following the Guru Maharaj. So my request to them is to quietly understand what the Guru wants and implement what the Guru wants. There's so much work to be done there. And they don't go there. That's the problem.
Vanam gato yad harimashriyeta. Vanaprastha means to leave home and go to the forest and take shelter of Krishna. So the acharyas have commented that in this age, going to the forest is very difficult, but one can go to Vrindavan. Take shelter of that forest. And here you have Vrindavan 2 hours away. So, yes, good opportunity for service. All right, shall we stop here? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.